live from Glen Eagles on 87.7 FM and across the world on RyderCup.com. This is Live at Ryder Cup Radio, Day 1 Review.
Day 1 of the 40th Ryder Cup. After all the anticipation and all the talk, the first two sessions at Glen Eagles didn't let us down.
Here it goes. Stays down. In it goes! In it goes! Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson have beaten Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson.
And that is that. The Americans have won it. The USA win on 14, 5-4.
It drops for Jimmy Walker. The United States has come back for a halve in this match of Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler against Thomas Bjorn and Martin Keimer.
Phil Mickelson sends the putt forward and he's held it. What a big, big, big win that is for the USA. And in the end, they've won it on 18.
Off come the caps, and that is a win for Europe. Jamie Donaldson and Lee Westwood have beaten Jim Furyk and Matt Kuchar.
In the hole, and Europe have won on 17-1. Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson.
Up to the hole, he missed it. Side, so a halved match here at 18 between Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, and Jimmy Walker.
Sends it forward, the cries everywhere. Does he like it? Does he like it? Oh, you better believe he likes it!
Graham McDowell with a sensational putt that sends everyone round the 16th wild. All the analysis, all the reaction to come of what's been an enthralling first day at the 2014 Ryder Cup. Hello once again, I'm Richard Kaufman. Well, along with the rest of the Live at Ryder Cup radio team, we have enjoyed that first day, haven't we? And over the next half an hour or so, we'll be hearing from the players from both sides, including the likes of Phil Mickelson, Ian Porter, Jordan Spieth, and Stephen Gallagher. Ron Jones, Paul Ills, and Matt Adams alongside me. But let me run you through the scores from day one. Starting with the morning four balls when Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson put Europe into the ascendancy with a win over Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson. A really impressive 5-4 win. Thomas Bjorn and Martin Keimer were three up at one stage against Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker. In the end, that match was halved at the 18th, finished all square. Ian Porter alongside Stephen Gallagher, it didn't work out because the youngest ever US partnership in Ryder Cup history, the two rookies, Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, took them out 5-4. And then in the final match of the day, Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy up against Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley. It was the Americans who won it at the 18th, one up the victory, which meant it was a 2.5, 1.5 point lead for the Americans at the halfway stage. But things swung back in Europe's way in the afternoon. Foursomes, Jamie Donaldson making his first Ryder Cup appearance alongside Lee Westwood making his ninth. Clinched it at the 18th, two up against Jim Furyk and Matt Kuchar. Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson made it 2 points out of two for the day with a 2-1 win over the Texan Zach Johnson and Hunter Mahan. A thriller as Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia managed to get half a point in their match against Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler. They were two down with two to play. And then Graham McDowell wrapping it up. You heard from Dave Farrar's commentary there at the end. At the 16th, alongside Victor Dubuisson, a 3-2 victory over Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley. It means Europe took the afternoon foursomes by 3.5 points to a half point, an overall scoreline after day one. Europe 5, the United States of America 3. Well, where do we start? Let's just get an overall feeling, Paul Ills, from you as to the way the day went and how it's finished and how the two captains might be feeling about it all.
Well, it ebbed and flowed, didn't it, all the way through. There was blue on the board in the early morning, four balls for Europe, and then that great fight back at the end from the Americans to pinch the morning session. The afternoon was pretty much blue all the way. Then there was a little bit at the end, and what a finish from McIlroy and Garcia. Birdied the last three holes to grab a half. So that was critical, and I think this evening Captain McGinley will be a little more pleased than Captain Watson.
OK, well, let's start now at the beginning, shall we? And, Ron, you went out alongside Paul for that opening match, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, Bubba Watson, Webb Simpson. Now, we know in Medina, the Americans had won both their four-ball matches, 5-4. We thought they were going to lose this one, 5-4.
They didn't play well. That's the plain fact of the matter. Webb Simpson, especially, from his very first tee shot, he looked nervous. He didn't strike his first tee shot at all well. Bubba Watson wasn't at his best. Between the two of them, the United States pair didn't manage a single birdie, and that tells its own story. On the other hand, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson both played very, very well. Justin Rose especially. He drove the ball well. Every aspect of his game was top class. And the 5-4 scoreline at the end of it for Rose and Stenson over Watson and Simpson really was more than justified. It was a perfectly acceptable and reasonable scoreline for what happened in that match. It was a comfortable win in the end for Europe.
Although I have to say, Bubba Watson produced one of my highlights of the day when he stood on that first tee, cupped his ear, and while he hit his opening tee shot, the crowd were roaring a la Medina. He is an entertainer. Didn't work out for him today, as we say, losing out to the Henrik Stenson Justin Rose partnership, 5-4. You heard from Ron Jones there, and after the Europeans won, Ron Jones caught up with him.
Henrik, the fact is you were in control really from the start.
Yeah, I mean, Justin had a great chance of one, and you know, there are certain momentum changers, and my birdie on the second when Bubba hit the green in two, and to get away with a win of the hole when we were both out of position was huge. And then again, we got lucky on three a little bit, I guess, to get a half. And then Justin made a fabulous birdie with a superb four iron on the fourth. And then I felt like we had a couple of holes where we really should have gone to three up, but we didn't manage to take that. So for me to make that putt off the web, missed his birdie putt on nine to go three up was huge. And then Justin just poured a bomb in on 10 and got to four up. And from there on, it's ours to lose. And we just kept on applying the pressure nicely, I think, and didn't make any mistakes. So it was a good day.
Yeah, very impressive performance from Stenson and Rose. We'll hear from Justin a little later on in match number two. Well, it was a game that looked like it was heading Europe's way. In the end, it was match halved. Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer up against Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker. Matt Adams, you were watching that game, and there was some real short game magic, wasn't there, from Jimmy Walker?
There was. Eventually, there was some short game magic. As you just alluded to, it didn't start out that way. Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer were three up after four holes, and they did it by virtue of three birdies in that four-hole stretch. It looked to me like there was a little bit of nerves on the U.S. side early, but then they started to settle. When I noticed a difference with Jimmy Walker, it was at the seventh hole. He was in a greenside bunker left, and from there, he blasted the ball out. It did not go in the hole, came very close, but ran just past it. And in his eyes, I thought I saw a transition from fear to determination, and it carried on from that point. At the ninth, the par five, he hit an absolutely beautiful shot from that bunker that he did, in fact, hold for an eagle. He cut the deficit at that point down to only one down. And although they would go back to two down before it was all said and done, they went on a charge to finish as well, with birdies on 16 and birdies on 18 to end up bringing the match back to all square.
Yeah, it was a typical but wonderful match play encounter between the German and the Dane up against the two American players. So match was halved. Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer spoke with Gary Moran afterwards.
Well, Thomas, I mean, you led from the first hole. It must be tremendously disappointing, I suppose, not to close it out at the death.
Yeah, you know, there's a disappointment in that. But all in all, it was a hard-fought match. You know, they never let go, you know, with Ricky, that he never lets go. And Jimmy played pretty well today. So, you know, it was all in all, it was probably a fair result of how the golf was in the match. But, yeah, when you're two up with three to go, you're obviously disappointed.
The two chip-ins from Jimmy were real turning points that brought them back into the game, weren't they, Martin?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the eagle on 9, and then there was a big one on 16. Otherwise, it would have been Domi. But, you know, we tried our best. And obviously, what Thomas said, it's a little bit disappointing to get only half a point because we were up all day. But it is what it is, you know, and there's still many more matches to go.
Well, that match was close. There was nothing close, though, in match number three. A few eyebrows raised when Tom Woodson decided he would go out with Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, two rookies, up against Ian Poulter, the postman, the man that always seems to deliver for Europe, playing alongside the local Scot in Stephen Gallagher. Well, it proved to be a wise choice, didn't it? Because Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed won 5-4. It was emphatic, and Sue Thirl spoke to the pair on the green moments after their win.
Patrick, to you first. That was nerveless golf from you guys out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, whenever we come out and play, we felt like I'd hit first off the tee, and with me hitting first, it would free up Jordan because I'll hit my driver pretty straight. And then, you know, when we hit into the greens, we were able to, you know, capitalize and hit some solid shots. And anytime you get your little confidence up, especially in match play, it's a huge, huge thing.
Watching you two walk around, Jordan, it looked like your putting was the difference between you and the Europeans today. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say specifically that. I mean, we had a lot of holes where we had two good looks at birdie. And I think that was the difference, you know, because when you have the two looks, you're able to hit more putts than they're hitting. Therefore, you see a couple go in. Percentage-wise, you know, we're going to make some if we have 18 of them. So that was kind of the key. I think ball striking-wise, we got off to the start we wanted. We kept the ball in play. And then once we started seeing a couple go in early, the hole got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I think that American pair disappointed that they didn't go out in the end in the afternoon foursomes. But for Stephen Gallagher and Ian Poulter, Paul, a disappointing day. We wondered, didn't we? These were two captains' picks, and they just couldn't find their game out there.
Yes, and that sometimes happens. But you listen to Patrick talking there and Jordan. They were on their game. They put the pressure on the European pair. And sometimes the harder you try, the harder it actually is, and it actually does the opposite, and you play a little worse. I know Stephen Gallagher didn't have the best of days. Ian Poulter was never really at the races. They were just outplayed, so they've had time to rest, think about it. Will Captain McGinley play them tomorrow? Not sure.
Well, let's hear from that hometown rookie, shall we, Stephen Gallagher. We asked him how his experience of walking onto that first tee this morning was.
Just euphoric, really. It was very excited. It was good to walk on it with Ian as well, who's been there and done it a few times. And yeah, I mean, first tee and Ryder Cup special, but obviously special in your own countries takes it to another level, I think. But yeah, it was what I expected, basically, and a bit more.
Was it almost something that made it quite hard for you to focus 100% on your game?
I think your first Ryder Cup, you're obviously, there's a bit of excitement and a bit of sort of, don't really know what to expect. It took me maybe five or six holes to get into it. I was a bit out of rhythm. I'd rather have the fans on cheering for you than not for you, if that's what you mean. I don't feel any more pressure at all, to be honest, no. There's 11 other guys in the team as well, and, you know, it's a team game. It's not down to me or anything like that. And I know the fans here are very partisan, and they'll be cheering us on for the next couple of days, and I'm sure that they might become the 13th man.
Well, that was Stephen Gallagher, very philosophical, I suppose, as well as disappointed after the way things went for him and Ian Poulter this morning in the four balls. Match four, well, that was a bit of a thriller as well, went all the way down to the 18th, but it was Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley who turned things around against the world number one, world number three pairing of Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia. Gregory Avray was out there watching that match this morning. It really was a typical Ryder Cup match and a surprising result, would you say, at the end, given the fact that the Europeans seemed to have the edge?
Yes, it was. It was quite some up and downs. I mean, Europe has been two up and then went down and then up again. And then finally, great finish from Keegan Bradley and eagle 16, and then a birdie, beautiful birdie on the last to win by one, to win one hole. And I mean, that was a dramatic play for sure all day long. But what was funny in four balls, I mean, number 7, number 11, and another one, which is a little bit later on, were win with a par, which is quite unusual in four balls on such a short holes. I mean, I think the play this morning was good, but not stunning. And probably the wind, probably the coldish conditions, and probably also the rough in this very hard Gleneagles hotel course makes it probably a little bit tougher than we think.
Okay, well, let's hear from a delighted Phil Mickelson, who spoke to our on-course commentator, Dave Farah, afterwards.
It was such an exciting match. We lost a two-up lead to go one down the back. We really were struggling there for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, you look at what Keegan did on 16, those three incredible shots on eagle on that hole. It's just amazing, and gave me a huge adrenaline boost, and we ended up pulling it out.
Set you up for the week.
Well, it's a great way to start, but it's one point amongst many, but it is a good way to start.
Appreciate you for taking the time. Thanks. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you.
So 2.5 points, 1.5 points. America out of the traps flying, given the way previous Ryder Cup results have gone in the end. Just the start, Matt, that Tom Watson would have wanted.
I suppose it was, but it also illustrates just how nip and tuck it was in that first session, and what would that mean for session number two when they went on to foursomes.
Yeah, because it was Europe ahead in that first session, a long time run, but in the end, America emerged on top, and I think this is kind of maybe a theme that might emerge for the rest of the Ryder Cup here.
Well, Richard, it's the Ryder Cup, so what's new? You know, you can never, ever predict what is going to happen. For a long time this morning, it did look as if Europe held the advantage, and that probably they could even have won 3.5, you know, to 1.5. It looked that way for a while. But, as I say, things change. Though these guys out there can all play golf, you know.
Yeah,
that's why they're here. And also, they have this wonderful resilience about them. They don't give up. It's as simple as that. Until the last putt goes down and the match is over and then you shake hands, these guys keep on going. And we saw that. It was a perfect day for illustrating that, because the matches that went to 18, I mean, they were so thrilling, weren't they? As I say, it's the Ryder Cup, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it was. And it was the perfect day as well, weather-wise. Gregory was mentioning the win there, but the sun shone for most of it. And let's hope that continues to be the case Saturday and Sunday here in the Perthshire countryside of the Glen Eagles Hotel. So America with the advantage after the morning four balls, but of course this is Ryder Cup, no pause for breath, and off we went with the foursomes. Lee Westwood went out with the Ryder Cup rookie Jamie Donaldson. They took on Jim Furyk and Matt Kuchar, and it was the Welsh-English combination that came out on top. And well, let's hear from a proud Welshman, shall we? Ron Jones, you were watching this match. Donaldson, if anything, at times seemed the senior partner, Ron.
Well, he did, and we talk sometimes about the nerves that can affect people in the Ryder Cup. It didn't seem to affect Jamie at all. I know he's 38 years of age. He's not a youngster in these terms, but nonetheless, he's playing in his first Ryder Cup. He looked as if he may have played in 6 or 7, the way he played. He was so confident about it. Lee Westwood was so complimentary afterwards about the way Donaldson had played. And I have to say, this match, in contrast to the four-ball match I'd seen in the morning, was a match of great quality. Donaldson, Westwood, Furyk and Kuchar all played near their best, and it came as a bit of a surprise when Kuchar made a bit of a mess on the 18th to finally almost give the match to Europe. But the quality in the match was outstanding.
Yeah, it's a good point you make there, Ron, because this is foursomes and there was only one bogey from each pair. Incredible stuff. And of course, it was a birdie right at the end that wrapped it up for Westwood and Donaldson, 2 up. So for Matt Kuchar, well, we need to get some American reaction. Well, here is Kuchar on that loss.
Hard to believe that in these windy conditions, both teams only made one bogey. I think only one hole was given away by each team with a bogey. It was a really good battle. I know we were under par, so they were a couple more under par. It was really a good battle.
And when you brought it back to one with just a couple of holes to play, you must have thought you were in with a chance.
Sure, I'll always have a chance. Always have a chance till you shake hands. So it was exciting there. I had a chance on 17, and then we were kind of neck and neck there on 18, and not able to get it done.
Well, that was a European win, as was match number two in the afternoon foursomes. The dynamic duo, I suppose, for Europe today, because 2 points out of two for Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson, beating Hunter Mahan and Zach Johnson 2-1. A new combination this, Gregory, for the European team, but already looking an effective one. I know tomorrow's another day, but today they can savour that 100% record, can't they?
Absolutely. 5 points for Europe and 2 for this pair.
They've been really, really good today. I mean, they played really solid. We know Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson has got a very, very solid game. Probably not like Phil Mickelson, who could up and down from anywhere, even if he struggled. Those two boys, we know if they're in shape, if they play well, and if they feel good, they could take every single fairway. They could go for every single green in a par five, and they could go low, definitely. And that's what happened today. It's a strong pair, and I'm wondering if Mr. McGinley thinks about putting them tomorrow on the morning on the afternoon, or maybe both, because, I mean, if you play that good, why not? We all know that also Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose are very fit. They feel very good. Why not all day again tomorrow?
And of course, having won 5 and 4 in the morning session, they haven't actually played 36 holes. Of course, the second match they won came at 17. And after celebrating on that green afterwards, they spoke to our very own Suthel.
It's been superb. I mean, you know, we went into the uncharted territory today, Henrik and I. I mean, as well as we know each other, we never really played any team golf together. So couldn't have been a better start for us.
Henrik, they came back at you, didn't they, repeatedly in this contest? They just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, I mean, they're two great players. They're two players that don't give away anything for free, really. So we knew we had to, you know, make birdies to win holes and fight it out. And we played really well. Like I said in the earlier interview there, I think we played better in the afternoon. I think we made 6 birdies in foursomes, and we didn't make that in the morning, I know that much. So, yeah. You know, we played solid in the afternoon and got the points, so very happy with that.
Leading the way in the four balls this morning and now in the foursomes this afternoon, what's your overall perspective of how it's gone so far today?
Well, I think this morning's four balls looked like it started really strong, and then obviously the US seemed to get a really good finish on us, and, you know, they obviously won the session. And, you know, there was a lot of blue on the board early again today, and obviously it was just great to see Lee finish it off with Jamie up the last, because the 18th hole wasn't that kind to us this morning, so it was great that they could get there. You know, I kind of had that in my head going up 18, that, it was great to finish before we got to 18, but, you know, the 18th hole this morning, it would have been fun too for us to obviously finish strong there. But all in all, I mean, you look at the board, it's all set up. I mean, we've had a great day so far. It's been a good start.
Well, on to the 7th match of the day now. We witnessed one of the shots, didn't we, of this first day at the Ryder Cup to rescue a half for Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia.
Sergio Garcia, second shot, par 5, 18th, right rough. He loves it. Aggressive line for Sergio. There's a plateau in the middle of this green. It hits and holds, and the crowd loves it. Wow, what a shot with Sergio Garcia here at the 18th.
You know, I obviously didn't put him in the best of spots there off the tee, but when we got up there, the ball was lying pretty good. We got lucky with that, and it wasn't, you know, it was a tough lie in terms of, okay, the ball was sitting okay, but the ball was well above his feet. So, you know, he had to grip down on a 5-wood, I think it was, and, you know, he saved his best shot of the day for the last, and, you know, thankfully I didn't need to hold the putt. It would have been nice for it to go in, but, you know, it just feels great to walk away with a half.
Incredible finish, Matt, because we have to remember as well the 40-footer that Rory McIlroy sunk at 17 to keep the whole thing alive.
There's no doubt about it. It was like tale of two cities for Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia today. They had 3 bogeys on their card. They had a double bogey on their card to go with 6 birdies. And get this, when they hit the fairway at 16, it was only the 3rd fairway they hit all day, and that would be the number that they would settle on, 3 fairways. But when it was all said and done, it was a heroic effort at the end, and it was good enough for them to be able to split with Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker.
Well, talking of that American Joe, Matt spoke to them afterwards.
Gents, at the end of the day, it's ironic, isn't it, that 18, it was almost a turn of events from what happened earlier in the day.
Yeah, you know, it was just didn't quite make the birdie on 18, but, you know, we played good all day. It was a tough day. The wind was really blowing, and, you know, we were in pretty good control of the match. Rory makes the bomb on 17, which there's nothing we can do about it. We were in good position to make a good par there, and then 18 just didn't shake down the way we needed it to.
Ricky, the shot you hit at 16 out of the rough, take us through that, because that was brilliant.
I drew a decent lie, still in a bit of hay over there, but it was a shot where, similar here on 18 as well, my partner gave me the go-ahead, said, hey, if you feel comfortable, send it up there. So it came out perfect on 16, came out well here on 18, same thing too. But yeah, I wish we could have got that birdie at 18. It would have been nice.
Well, it was a thrilling match, that, wasn't it? And so was the match to conclude day one of the Ryder Cup here, the first in Scotland in just over 40 years. And, well, Victor de Buisson and Graham McDowell coming through against Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley. Ron Jones was a proud Welshman watching Jamie Donaldson. I'm sure Gregory Avray was a proud Frenchman watching Victor de Buisson today.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, Ron, you won't disagree. Those two best players this afternoon were Jimmy and Victor. Maybe it's because I've been following him for 16 holes, but I think Victor was absolutely stunning today. Some shots from the first tee. I mean, he played the second shot on the first hole, then a drive on the second hole, then a beautiful iron on number three, beautiful iron again on number four and five, and what a start, even six after. And his pace on the green was actually a lot better than the other guys, too. He felt probably a little bit more in control, and short game very good, up and down on 12. I mean, up and down, beautiful bunker shot, nearly make the chip on number 14 too. And he managed to hit a great shot on 16 and left a beautiful putt for G-Mac, who loves definitely 16 greens on the Ryder Cup, make beautiful putt, 3 and 2. Nothing, I think, Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley could do today against this beautiful pair.
Well, perfect finale, wasn't it? As far as Paul McGinley was concerned, de Buisson and McDowell, 3 and 2 victors. And afterwards, they spoke with Dave Farah.
Victor, what a first Ryder Cup performance. I bet you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like yesterday, I was feeling really stressed. You know, I was not feeling very comfortable last night. But this morning, when I got on the tee with Graham, I really felt that positive energy. The stress was gone, and I was ready for it. Yeah.
And Graham, as ever with you in the Ryder Cup, a sense of the dramatic, finishing it on 16 with a wonderful putt.
Yeah, that was a nice way to finish. You know, you don't really want to give players of Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley, you don't want to give them an inch, you know, because they're hard guys to put away. And, you know, this has been a fun experience today, getting a chance to play in the foursomes here with Victor de Buisson, who I believe is seriously Europe's next superstar. I promise you. It was amazing display from him today. It was nice to finally make a putt. You know, the greens were tough today. They were slow. It was very difficult to kind of get into a rhythm on this golf course. I barely hit an iron shot all day. It was a really funny golf course, but great to get that first victory. It was frustrating waiting around this morning, but we were ready when we got the call up this afternoon.
So 5-3 to Europe. Matt, just quickly some thoughts from you guys here at the end. Tom Watson, there's bound to be a few criticisms, particularly not to play that rookie duo that won so convincingly in the morning, in the afternoon.
Yeah, but I don't think he can be criticised too deeply, because he was the man who decided to play them together to begin with, and he was criticised for that initially. Yes, they're going into day two, and Europe has the lead, so Team USA is going to have to put together a run. I think it's way too early to panic, as we've seen. It is so close. It is so razor edge out there. It could easily finish with Team USA up tomorrow as well. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow's matches. I'm hoping that the weather holds as beautiful as it was today. And if the golf course plays the same, I think we're going to see just as many fireworks.
Yeah, I think Ron and Gregory will go along with that as well. My thanks to Matt Adams, to Ron Jones, and to Gregory Avray. Well, what a first day of this 2014 Ryder Cup we've had, with the match intriguingly balanced, is it? The score currently, as we know, Europe 5, United States of America 3. Don't forget to join us tomorrow morning, what's sure to be, of course, a dramatic day 2 from Gleneagles. We'll be on air from 0700 British summer time tomorrow morning, bringing you full uninterrupted commentary of the morning and afternoon matches. You can hear us on the course and its surrounds, 87.7 FM, RyderCup.com, the official Ryder Cup app, and on the TuneIn app worldwide, as well as across the whole of North America on Sirius XM satellite radio. It's been a day that's ebbed and flowed. It's been dramatic. You wouldn't expect anything else, would you? It's the Ryder Cup. Until tomorrow, from myself, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Live at Ryder Cup radio team, it's goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Ryder Cup Radio on 87.7 FM and around the world on RyderCup.com.